Hello, welcome to the big show. This, obviously, you'll realise this is not your normal programming. We've let the boss have the night off, but we're here to talk the week in tech. And I'll tell you what, I've got a fabulous panel. One, because they're my partners in crime for one reason or another. But two, they're all my mates. So first up, it's the man who I do the reviews with, the man who I do the shows with, and the man who comforts me at night. It's Chris Campion. Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's Friday night. The feeling's right. Oh, what a night.
Yeah. No, really good. Busy week. Glad to see Friday. Looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, I can't wait. It's been ridiculous. Yeah. And as soon as I get a freaking roof on this house, it'll be even nicer. But anyway, get away from my problems. From Mr. Camps to my podcasting brother from another mother, it's Mr. Richard Smith from Simply Syndicated. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you. It's nice to be podcasting on a Friday night. I kind of miss it actually now.
Oh, lovely. You don't normally do a Friday?
No, we used to. We used to do a super happy fun time every Friday night and live and stuff, and we haven't done it for years. So, yeah, kind of miss this now.
Oh, well, we've got you here tonight. Thank you ever so much for coming.
No problem.
And talking about partners in crime, this man is just generally my life partner. And what we've probably done this week is done nothing but flirt. It's Jeff Gamet. Hello, mate.
As if we would do anything other than flirt with each other.
Yeah, I think my wife saw a couple of my messages and she was rather concerned.
Oh, well, it's okay. She can hold the camera.
She understands. She does. God, Jesus Christ, you started already.
That was my out loud voice, wasn't it?
No, that's good. No, don't keep it inside. Don't keep it inside. Or is that another? No. Carry on. So, like we say, we're here to talk the week in tech. As you all know, the format is we bring a story to the party. Who's got the first?
I'll shove that one in.
You can't say that after Jeff's just done his thing.
No.
Sorry, totally it was a gift. That.
Completely appropriate.
It was a gift.
Amazon job posting suggests plan to bring shopping experiences into VR. Tell me more. Yeah.
So recently, Amazon have hired somebody with an amazing name, Jera Terranova, who's going to oversee VR projects at Amazon Studios. And now they're posting a job advert looking for a creative director of VR to envision the future of Amazon's VR solutions. Now, in the article I put in the chat room from TechCrunch, they're saying that the jobs within the company's A9 division, which oversees product search and advertising technologies, the posting claims that the division is building Amazon's VR shopping experience. So this was an interesting one because we've talked VR quite a few times on the big show in terms of what's the use going to be. And we've talked about scenarios in particular in terms of gaming, in terms of training and things like that. But I thought actually this is I'm not sure how far this one's going to go, but it's a concept which we've not talked about before. And to be honest, not really one that I've thought of that somewhere down the line, I'm assuming I'd probably be able to use my Amazon app, shove it in a Google Cardboard or an Oculus or Samsung VR, something like that, and have a little wander around and maybe a virtual Amazon store, pick up some products, have a look at them. I'm thinking, interesting concept, not sure how much it'll benefit my shopping antics on Amazon or not, but it's a use for VR that I've not thought of before, but possibly an interesting step forward. So just wonder what you guys thought of this.
So virtual Tesco's, is that what you're saying?
Virtual Tesco's, yeah. Have a wander around an Amazon store without leaving your house.
Without the smell as well.
Possibly so.
Does Tesco smell?
I think all UK supermarkets smell.
Yeah. Now
I have something to look forward to when I come over and visit.
Can't promise it'll always be a nice smell though, Jeff.
Sorry, Rich.
VR Amazon, I really don't think it's going to be a thing. I understand on some level how the idea of a wander around a virtual Amazon store is appealing, but I think it's an effing nightmare. Can I swear on this network? I never know.
You can when I'm on, yes.
Okay, smashing. But
we do on yours, so yeah, don't hold back.
Yeah, okay. Get the sort of appeal, but I think it's one of those things that in reality you realize that just being able to type what you want into Amazon and it appear on a page without you having to go and walk for it is infinitely more appealing. And so
I like to carry it slide.
I just remember this from years ago, from when we were seeing all stuff about internet coming into houses and stuff like that, and being told, oh, it's like you can walk down a virtual shopping street and see all the shops. And then, no, we got websites. That's what happened. And we were kind of okay with that. I maybe I'm in a minority. I'm just not itching to get into VR.
I think you're right there, Richard. It's for me. I'm trying to think. So, what sort of products I would probably buy, or I do buy from Amazon. I buy from Amazon regularly. What sort of products I'd almost look at? Certain things, like, I don't know whether there's any you can gauge any almost size comparisons. No idea. I just can't see how, from a product point of view, it's going to tell you an awful lot. That's almost your cue to jump in there, Jeff.
Jeff, so what sorts of virtual stores where you want to see the size of things, Jeff, would you like to see in virtual reality?
You know, as soon as you threw size into the mix, I was intrigued. And now I'm ready to go strolling down these virtual aisles. However, I don't think that giving us a virtual store we walk through and try and find stuff is the way to go, because people because people are going to do really smart thing, which is put their Google whatever Oculus thing up to their face and walk right over their couch or down the stairs trying to get to the next aisle. So where I see this actually useful is when you find the product you want to look at and you want to look dimensionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, so maybe you can see how long it is, or you know, how big around it is. I don't know, but so yes, you can check out the size or look at it from the backside, as opposed to just seeing a single photo. You know, maybe you like to know what it looks like when you're on top.
Do we need to let people know that Jeff is currently on drugs?
It's okay. They're prescription, and they were legally prescribed.
But we haven't seen any VR offerings from Amazon. What was that thing they had in the phone? Was it Firefly or something like that, where you take a photograph of something, wouldn't you? The phone that they never
had. Yeah, that was really like image recognition or something. Yeah. You take a picture.
Yeah.
And it'd go, oh, this is a DVD. Thanks, Amazon. That's great.
Thank really you very much.
New ground with that one.
But they've got no VR offering. So like I think like Cam says, it's obviously an app that goes into a phone and you stick it. I went to Poundland and I got one of a Google Cardboard type thing, complete rip off, and I think I used it for half an hour. And I was bored.
You know, if you want a really good VR thing that's like Google Cardboard, you need to get the ViewMaster VR, because it works with any phone. You can do the Google Cardboard stuff and you can do any other VR apps that work with your phone.
Is that ViewMaster as in put little photographs in a thing from when I was a child?
Yeah. Do you want to see what one of these things looks like? I actually have one sitting here.
Oh, please.
Yeah, hold on.
Jeff's got all the kit. Oh, he has as well, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just knocked my loop on the floor. But here you go.
I got a show title already. Thank you.
I meant it is that you can see yourself in the reflection now.
Ooh, hello.
You know, backside. So yeah, it looks like a big ViewMaster, and it pops open, and then your phone attaches in there, and then you have a button on the side, and what it does is it actually taps on your screen where the buttons are to activate the VR app.
And that works with all phones?
Yeah.
Okay.
That little bracket inside it just holds the phone, and any modern cell phone or smartphone. So if it's a phone where you can actually load and run any of the VR apps, then it'll work with those.
Because I've got a mate at work. He's got the Pixel and the is it View? Pixel View? Is that their VR thing? Whatever theirs is, but I've had a go on that, and that's it's rather nice. It's just made of fabric. It's no different from the Google Cardboard, but their apps are quite good. I played the Harry Potter one. That it is fun, but I did the VR thing in the 90s, and it was fun. I did it in arcades. It was fun, and I think once I'd done it, I never went and paid to do it again.
Is that Google One the one that they think you'll like carry with you, so you can have your VR experience out and about and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so you can get mugged in various ways. Yeah,
I would like some of what Google is smoking with that.
Yeah. You sit in a cafe, put this on your face. It's got your phone in it and everything.
Yeah.
So that was clever. Obviously, they come from they live in these little like walled communities, aren't they? With low crime rates, so they don't live in central England.
No. Although I do think
apparently they don't live where there's objects.
Yeah, I actually feel somebody using a VR thing in a cafe or a bar would actually incite violence. So that's probably not a good thing.
Or at least the shaking out knob.
Yeah, it would at least do that.
It's Google Glass all over again, though, isn't it? Because they just look like. I remember a couple of bashes back. AZ brought the Google Glass, and I put it on, and it was fun, but I wouldn't wear it out and about. I really wouldn't. You're really asking for trouble.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with a lot of the things like Google Glass. You know, I think it's fairly limited use in a day to day basis in current times.
Yeah,
and 15 years down the line, might all be wearing something similar or have implants or of that sort of thing. But I think we're way off that, and anybody who is wearing it now is more seen as a bit of a dick than naturally, your normal day to day wearer.
Exactly. I think AR is more important than VR. I think that's where the application is. Google Glass wasn't that because it was a screen up in the top of your eye. I think something that overlays things. I wouldn't mind that. And everyone uses that analogy that it's kind of like, you're not very good with faces and you see someone and go, this is so-and-so, you met them 3 weeks ago at so-and-so's party and all that sort of stuff. It's a little bit stalkerish as well, but I'd find more use for that, overlaying things in the real world, than shutting myself away and...
Being able to pretend like you actually know people.
Yeah, I have friends. I have friends in a screen. Bless you all. I have no real friends. I just sit in this room 24 hours a day, waiting for the next big show. That's all I do. I've got a water bowl down here. They supply me with food through this hatch every 5 hours, and I wait for the next show. I have no friends, so maybe virtual reality is for me. Yeah, actually,
they give you food every 5 hours.
Yeah, we're British. We're
luxury.
Fat. We're fat. We're British.
So we're saying on this one then that none of us here today would want Amazon to give us a virtual shopping experience where we can, as it sort of says in this article, look at the scale of the items in 3D sat on our surface. Not one for me, I'm afraid.
If I was going to the same stores that Jeff was going to, then maybe. Maybe. Because you do have to look at size.
Well, no, I wouldn't be interested.
But no, VR is still, to be perfectly honest, I've not tried the Oculus. No, I have tried the Oculus. We had it at the Bash. We had the dev unit there. It was good. It made me feel sick. I tried the Samsung VR. Made me feel sick. Tried the Google Cardboard. I just got bored. I don't think it's any different from where we were 20 years ago. It's another fad. It's something else to sell people. It's like 3D in cinemas. I saw Rogue One in 3D, and I didn't enjoy it one bit. And I had to go back the next day and watch it in 2D because that's how I watch TV.
So I think from all the conversations on the big show that we've had about VR so far, we've not had a single use for VR where we've all sat here and agreed, yeah, it's a good use and we would want to use it. So far, I think from a BTM point of view, VR is still not getting us.
What's the porn like? What's the porn like? I've not tried it.
Jeff?
I haven't tried it. But from what I've heard, it's kind of weird. because you it's just weird from what I've heard.
It's just weird in real life, let alone bloody VR. Wow. Okay, so we're not voting for VR.
Shopping. We're not voting for VR on PTN.
Ah, so nope. Sorry, Camps, but that was that's a good story, mate. That's a good story. And I think there's going to be more and more things. I think the social thing is going to be the thing that really sells it. You know, that's why Facebook plays so much money into Oculus. I think they're looking at more of a kind of social experience where you can be somewhere with your mates, or if they're somewhere where you can't be, you can share the experience with them. That seems a more logical approach than being in places that are literally, you know, non-believable.
Had it been available now, we could have joined Jeff at the dentist.
Totally. It would have been awesome.
Thanks, Camps. Lads, who's got a story for me? Rich, I think I know what you're going to say.
Do you want to talk Switch?
Yeah, please.
Let's talk Switch. I'm excited for Switch, so let's talk Switch. What I've got a couple of things here, which are all a bit down on it, which is a shame because I'm so excited. I am so excited about this thing. It's
aren't you getting yours late though?
So I pre-ordered it on the day as soon as I could, and I pre-ordered the Zelda game with it. And a couple of days later, I got an email from Amazon going, sorry, gonna deliver yours on the 13th. Sorry. But hey, your Zelda game's gonna be there on time.
Right. You can stroke
that. Oh, no, salt in the wound.
That doesn't help, Amazon. No. Now I will just get to hold this box rocking back and forth. Maybe I can freeze myself and wake up in time for the new Nintendo to be out. Now you wake up in the future then, don't you? It's weird.
But you are genuinely excited though, aren't you?
I am genuinely excited. I can't wait for it. It's going to be my first proper Nintendo console that I've ever owned. Well, so, apart from the 3DS. Home console that I've ever owned.
So what is it that really excites you about it? You know, obviously there's quite a few concepts in there. It looks really nice. I have a worry of taking the heart of my console out and about, and then nobody's going to be one piece when I get home. But
yeah,
I think we speak on Sunday, and it's generally not going to leave the house very often anyway, is it really?
I wasn't planning on taking mine anywhere, really.
No, but that's what they want you to do.
I mean, also, don't forget, it's £299. Sorry, it's not. Was it £279 and $299? How much is your iPad Air 2 that you'll quite happily take out of the house without a second thought?
That's fair.
They're not that price, you know.
No.
So on that, in that sense, it's really not that bad. But the 3DS is for going outside. I think they said it that, you know, it's just think of the Switch as a home console that you happen to be able to take out for a bit. And I'm okay with that. That's cool.
It's a nice option because certainly if you have a family and you share a screen with people where your console is plugged into it, and obviously if EastEnders or whatever is on or whatever families watch is on, you can at least disappear to another room and play with yourself.
Yeah, because I'd recently heard about an article. I don't remember who wrote it or what it was on, and I heard about it through somebody complaining about it. Because the article was about console gaming being dead. And the main reason it cited for console gaming being dead was the use of the television and the existence of families and stuff like that. You can't sit for 8 hours a night playing Legend of Zelda because someone wants to watch Netflix, someone wants to watch TV, and it goes on and on. And this Switch just gets around that problem. You want to watch Netflix?
That's true.
Okay, I've got my Switch. Done.
I'm guessing this is a UK problem, because in the United States, that's not an issue. There's a TV in everyone's room.
But your console is generally plugged into your
living
room, aren't they? So my Xbox is plugged into my front room. I have allocated playtime. I have from 6 till 7:30. That's my allocated playtime. And if I'm not finished, get the hell off.
What are the prices looking like for the games for the Switch?
They vary. So Zelda was $59.99. which felt like passing a kidney stone, to be perfectly honest. That's a lot, but other games go down as far as $39.99.
See, for me, I think recently, console gaming, obviously the Wii U wasn't a success. So the 3DS and then the PS Vita. What was the one before the PlayStation Vita?
The PSP, was it?
PSP, yeah. I think the PSP and the 3DS for me were probably the last two popular handheld gaming consoles. But since then, there hasn't really been an awful lot left sort of out there in the marketplace that's really been used. And I think the obviously the smartphone and the iPod Touch, in a lot of cases, and I think from a kid's perspective, probably took over a bit of the handheld gaming for so long. And I'm just wondering now, have parents almost got out of the habit of paying sort of your 25, 35, 40 pound per game and actually getting a bit more used to paying the $2.99, $4.99, maybe even as high. I mean, how many people scoffed at $7.99 for Super Mario on iOS?
Yeah, true.
And I'm just thinking from a kid's point of view, I think the Switch looks awesome. It's probably the first console in a while that I've looked at and even thought of. But I think the price of the games potentially might put me off if it's something where my daughter chooses a different game every other week on her PlayStation, on her iPad. It's easy to do at that price, but not at the sort of prices of the Switch. I don't know how that might affect it with the younger gamers.
Do you know what? I think we kind of used to deal with that problem with like game rentals from video stores.
God, yeah.
Do you remember that? You'd go and rent a game for the weekend or whatever.
When I couldn't afford them, I used to rent Sega Master Systems. And you go to the video shop and it was like a big old case. And inside was the Master System, the controller, the power and the AV cable. And then you'd hire the games. You'd take it home for 2 days and you'd play on it. And then the Sega bus would come to our school. Which that was shameless advertising. The Sega bus.
I've never even heard of the Sega bus.
The Sega bus was a double decker bus, and it had some Master Systems, some Mega Drives on board. And you'd go and play Golden Axe and Altered Beast. And it was apparently a sanctioned curriculum item because they were allowed to park this bus in our playground, and we'd then go and play their games. Thus then going by their consoles. The Sega bus was amazing.
I read about the Sega bus in Sega Power back in the day. I never knew it was really a thing that went to school.
I've been on the Sega bus. And as a result, I went to the launch of the Mega Drive.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And I also played at the launch of the Virgin Megastore in the mid-90s. I played Sonic the Hedgehog with Dominic Diamond from Games Master.
Wow.
And if you want to top that off, I also aided Sir Patrick Moore to the toilet once. So my gaming circle is complete.
Fair enough.
No kidding.
And it's all true because I have photographic evidence, not of the toilet. No,
I was going to say.
No, I have a picture of ourselves together enjoying a glass of wine, not that. You just needed to know where they were. That was all it was.
Wow, the Sega bus.
Bus is awesome.
Yeah,
and you remember the old Sega advert where the it was like the coloured lines and the bloke's face came out of the screen.
Yeah,
and the bus was like coloured in those lines, and that bloke's face was on the side. But yeah, you went in where the luggage rack is normally on a double decker bus is like, you know, games consoles all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It probably exists somewhere. It's probably someone's got somewhere. I think there was only one. It's like when they Martin's called me a name dropper, cheers. It's like when they put DeLoreans outside video shops in the old days when Back to the Future got reissued, but the Sega bus was the most amazing thing in the world. And actually, the Mega Drive launch was pretty nice as well. But then I bought Super Nintendo, so it didn't work.
Oh, wow.
I'm just doing a quick search in terms of, you know, because on the Switch you're going to be able to download games as well, aren't you? You're not fixed to cartridges or anything like that.
Yeah.
But an interesting point is just saying that the download of The Legend of Zelda will fill nearly half of the Switch's internal storage. The Zelda weighs in at 13.4 gig.
Holy crap!
So does that mean you can?
It has expandable storage.
Expandable storage.
Yeah, it's got a SD card, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it micro SD?
It'll take up half the one that comes with it.
Yeah. You need to get your expandable storage to put more games on there.
Yeah. Or you could spend $15.99 on a 64 gig one and be sorted.
Yeah, exactly.
So how backwards compatible is the Switch?
As far, do you know what? I've not heard anything about that. I would assume it'll have Virtual Console. We know that it'll have NES and SNES games on it. And I'm kind of thinking it might go as far as having sort of N64 games and GameCube games on it eventually. In theory, I don't see why this couldn't play Wii games and Wii U games.
No, not at all.
In fact, for all the people who've been moaning the further existence of motion controllers, I mean, when the Wii came out and people started worrying about how will we play these games going forward in emulation, that kind of thing. This is the answer. They just keep putting motion control in everything.
Yeah.
I think you can hear my dog. I'm sorry.
That's all right. This is the best console they ever made. I love this.
I never got to play on one. I did hold the controller, which was incredible.
Oh, I've got a game inside. What have we got? Oh, game. I haven't played it in years. What have we got? FIFA 2003. Wow, look at that.
Wow.
Wow. Right, just for those on audio, is that the GameCube?
That's the GameCube. It was the first gift my wife ever bought me when we moved in together. And I still love her today. And I've kept all my old cards. I've still got the old PlayStation 2s. I've got all the steering wheels that came with them. The only thing I don't have is an old NES. But then my Wii does that for me.
I think it'll be fairly backwards compatible, but you won't be able to put Wii U games in it. Because it won't have a disk drive.
Yeah, from what I can see here, I'm just reading an article that's saying only possible caveat for backwards compatibility would be digital downloads. So you need to use your Nintendo Network ID to log into the Switch and download games from their profile.
Do you know what, though? I've never put an original Xbox game in an Xbox 360. And while I've had the PS4, I've never wished I had any of my Xbox 360 games to play on it. I've never seen backwards compatibility as really much of an issue.
Yeah. No, especially, not really.
Especially if you keep the old thing around. If you don't play Wii U games, don't throw your Wii U out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
We still play on the Wii here. You know, my daughter loves the Wii. And if you're drunk, Wii bowling is just a fantastic thing to do.
Wii bowling is awesome. Yeah.
We still play that.
Wii bowling is probably the best game ever made. Especially when you are drunk, it is just the best fun ever.
See, so I actually found this, that there was an article on The Verge about that we're getting to find out that the Switch will run Zelda at 900p, not 1080p, and at 30 frames a second. And I'm kind of thinking we're past the point where stuff like that matters. And I think the fact that everyone in on the show right now could say, yeah, we still have a Wii, we're still playing the Wii. Is that not proof of that? That it doesn't matter that this is not a 4K graphical beast of a machine because it does other things.
I don't care about photorealistic images in games.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're all of an age where we played games where they're all in one color, but the games were still good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's gameplay over graphics. Mm.
Yeah, it's not, and that's why I've stuck with the 360, because I've got a shelf here. I've probably got 40 games here, and I've probably got another 60 downloaded, and I haven't played them all, and that's my only reason for not getting an Xbox One or a PS4, because I don't need to, because I can still play the games, and the games are still good. I'm still playing Red Dead, for God's sake. I will finish it one day.
Yeah.
You love that game, don't you?
It's an awesome game. The DLC that came out for it, the zombie add-on, was just phenomenal.
Oh yeah. But no, I've got like 50 games I haven't played yet, so I don't have any. Yeah, and the graphics don't bother me. I got an Xbox quite late, and for me the graphics look amazing still. And I know the Xbox One stuff and the PS4 stuff really does look good, but it doesn't enhance the experience anymore.
Not at all. I mean, as you know, I bought two consoles last year. I bought a PS4 and I bought a 3DS. Mm-hmm. I I can't remember the last time I played a game on the PS4, but you've got to rip that 3DS out of my hand. Mm. It just doesn't get put down. And that's, that again is further proof. It doesn't matter that it's not a QHD screen like a Samsung phone or something like that with a massive cutting edge processor. It plays Fire Emblem, and that's awesome.
That's all you need though, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, a good game is a good game, and it just works. And so this news, and also the news that they've confirmed today, no Netflix or other streaming services on the console at launch.
Oh, what a shame. As if my toaster doesn't have Netflix now.
That was what I was going to say, yeah. So you'd switch on your TV that has a Netflix app, switch it to your Switch channel, realize that you've got something else plugged into that HDMI that's a Netflix player. So you unplug that and plug it into your Switch, and then they, oh, my Switch doesn't do Netflix. Well,
such a shame.
Dear God. Is there anyone at this point who would have bought the Switch because it's a Netflix player?
I thought the thing was, if it has a plug on it, it has Netflix on it. I thought that was the rule, wasn't it?
Generally speaking, I have a few things that do break that rule, like my Now TV box and stuff.
Have you got any vapes, Rich, with Netflix on them?
Sadly, no. But no. Do you know what? I've just seen the first vape with an MP3 player and photo viewer. So maybe.
Oh, no, seriously. God.
Maybe by the end of the year, you never know.
Isn't it true that I'm sure, and I'm ashamed I can find the article now, I'm sure I've seen something over the last few days that's saying that the Switch won't have Netflix at launch.
No, it won't.
Well, have any video streaming apps at launch?
No, that's it. It's on GameSpot. I can't get back in the chat room where I post the link.
You do get a free copy of Super Mario Brothers with Bob Hoskins, apparently.
Do you really? Nearly bought it. I all of this stuff is like, oh, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. Well, like all the many other things I do have, do, so I don't care. Do you know what I want to do with the Switch? I want to play Mario on it.
Of course you do.
I want to play Mario Kart. I want to play Fire Emblem, and I want to play Xenoblade and all those games that they showed off, and that's fine. Yeah, I've not bought a Call of Duty game for a long time now, so the fact it doesn't run it doesn't bother me.
No, but the point is, you know, when the Xbox One and the PS4 came out, Microsoft were really up for saying, this is a media hub, this is going to have all your movies, all your music and all that sort of stuff on it, and PlayStation came out and said, you're going to play games on this. And that's why it's the most successful one.
Yeah, that's what swayed it for me.
Yeah, it just does what it's meant to do. I don't need, you know, I've got a media center under my TV. I've got an Apple TV. I've got God knows what plugged into my TV. I don't need another media streamer. And I'm not going to use an Xbox controller to control them anyway. And I'm not going to talk to the bloody thing. So, yeah, I'd rather, if I was to invest in a next-gen console, it'd be a PS4 every day of the week.
And right, Ewan's in the chat room and he's mentioning that the graphics are a bit of a day one win. And I think he's dead right from an Xbox and a PlayStation perspective. Because I think everybody's absolutely expectant that the PS4 and the Xbox will have amazing graphics. I'm not sure if that same level of expectation is there with a Nintendo console. So my thoughts, if I wanted high-end graphics, yeah, I'd be looking at probably the Xbox One based on friends that I've got that play consoles and playability between staying on the same platform. Mm-hmm. But I think if I'm purely going for gameplay, I'd probably look at Nintendo.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going for a Switch, that's what I'd probably do.
No, but then, like you say, PlayStation went for it, like you said, with the Vita and the PSP, and what's happened with those? Not a lot. Do they even make them anymore?
They're all gone now.
Exactly.
Continued.
So, you know, what was that? Was that a PS2 in a box, basically?
Yeah, I think the smartphone killed that.
Yeah, and I think this genuinely gives a reason to be excited about it, because they're, you know, essentially it's a tablet, and as the reviews are saying, this is the only tablet that will run Zelda.
Yeah,
no, you know, we kind of with Mario Go got a kind of cut down Mario. He runs himself, he jumps. You'd never, you know, until I know the phones are powerful now, but you wouldn't get that experience on a phone with Zelda. You do need those controllers. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Touch control on games is fun. It's fun when you're more in motion, first thing in the morning and all that sort of stuff. But if you want serious gameplay, you must have a controller. It's the only way you feel that you're actually interacting with it. If not, you're just prodding a glass screen.
Yeah.
And that's good for that's good for a lot of people. But I think, you know, we're all gamers. We all grew up with, you know, the shit consoles and even worse, home computers. But I'll tell you what, I still waited that 35 minutes for RoboCop to load and for it to crash, and then for me to have a bath and then load it again and crash and then wait another half an hour. Then it loaded and I played it and I freaking loved it. Mm-hmm. Because the gameplay was so good, it didn't take anything away from the experience. So I think they're right. And you know, they're now at the point where we have new-gen Xboxes, new-gen PlayStations. That market is settled. The Xbox and the PS4 are just PCs in a box now. They're very close to what PC gaming is. The only advantage is that they can, you know, people can craft their games for that hardware. Nintendo have said, okay, you have that market. We have this other market, which they tried with the Wii U with that controller. But I think this is probably a good way for them to go.
And do you know, I saw some kid on a YouTube video a couple of hours ago actually talking about a similar thing. And he made this point. No one gets at Disney for not making horror films.
True.
Because that's very just good not point, what yeah. Disney do. Disney make Disney films. And the fact is Nintendo make Nintendo games and Nintendo consoles, and they do what they do, and we love them for that. And if you want Call of Duty, it doesn't matter if it's not there. I get that, you know, there's a lot of diehard Nintendo fans sort of our age that had these things growing up, and there was a point where, yeah, you got a lot of third-party support on Nintendo. That was a long time ago, and they're still here. Yeah. And they've just got the best first-party support of anyone by a long shot. What's Sony's first-party stuff with its lovable characters and IP that they can use over and over again? I couldn't tell you, and I own a Sony console.
Yeah, and look what happened to Sega as well. And they had that catalogue. You know, they went to the mobile market, but I'm sure they're not making the sort of money they used to make when they, you know, when they had the Dreamcast and the Mega Drive and all those sort of things. Nowhere near. They're almost a dying company.
I would love Sega to make a console again. That would just be great.
They should I bet you money on this podcast, now that the NES Classic has come out, the Master System Classic is coming. It's got to be, you know, well, if you're working for Sega, you've got to look at that and go, tiny little Master System with 30 games on it, 50 quid. Oh, come on.
Yeah, there are some things like that already exist, though, aren't they? You can get, like, Mega Drive ones. And
yeah, they're like little controllers, aren't they? But there were little Nintendo ones as well, weren't there? Not as good, but... But if you remember, if you go back to the Master System days, the Master System did come with built-in games. You can't beat a bit of Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
Yeah, Alex Kidd in Miracle World, absolutely.
You turned it on with no console, no cartridge in it. You had a game.
Yeah. And I've actually been playing a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog Game Gear version this week as well.
And you can get the Mega Drive, the classic game console, with 80 games on Amazon for 80 quid.
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Why is that not... Why is that not getting sold?
That's a bucket one. Game.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty sweet, though, isn't it? That is pretty sweet. No, I'm really excited for the Switch. I think I don't think it's going to be a phenomenal success. I think a lot of kids in that are now into the mobile gaming. But I think us who love the old kind of thing, I think we laughed on Sunday, Rich, didn't we? Because the game from the 90s is back, Street Fighter 2 on the Switch. But to tell you what. Portable Street Fighter 2? That's not bad.
Oh, actually, there's a time you'd have killed for that. You know, we just let this stuff wash over us. And you have to stop and look and realize that all the things you fantasized about as a kid are actually happening now. I have a game console that I can take outside and all kinds of things.
Does anyone think this could be Nintendo's last chance in terms of the hardware market?
No. They'll just, they've not lost money on everything. So, I mean, what you deem to be a success or not is, you know, they might not be the best selling console, but that doesn't mean it costs them a lot of, that costs them money. And as long as they're making profit and doing what they do, why stop?
Well, they basically bankrolled the Switch anyway. 2016, Pokemon Go, they made an absolute fortune. Yeah. Mario Run, they made an absolute fortune, and they're probably making an absolute fortune on the NES Classic. That was a precursor. This is like, here we are. Because I think we've all, this show on Take It or Leave It, we've always said, wish just Nintendo would bring their library out. And they were going to do it all along. It was just a planned launch of all their classic titles, Pokemon, Mario, all their old games. And then here's the new thing. And you're like, oh, Nintendo, I remember those. I used to love that. I'd love to one that I could put in my bag and take out with me. Or if the wife's having to go at me, I can sit in a room on my own and play Street Fighter 2. Fantastic. One good way to deal with your rage anyway.
That's it. I've been playing a lot of Streets of Rage recently in 3D.
In 3D? My mind.
They've redone it for 3D on the 3DS.
I think I've got it on my phone. I've got Streets of Rage on my phone, and I love that game.
Yeah, oh, it's good.
I just need Final Fight. That's all I need. They've never done Final Fight. That's my favorite game ever.
You never know for the future. It might come along. Get a Raspberry Pi and emulate.
Oh, no, because
you got one and it works.
No, because you made me down open Emu on Sunday.
Ah, yeah.
And you said it, and I downloaded it, and I didn't come out of the office for 3 hours, and the wife went, that was a long show. I just got obsessed.
And I'm assuming your answer was yep.
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 Yeah, that Richie goes on.
I do.
Thank you, Rich. That is good. No, I think it's going to be great. And you're going to fill us in when you get one, aren't you? Will you come back? Will you come back when you get it and tell us all about it?
Absolutely, I will. It will have to be 6 days after the launch day, of course. But yeah, I'm not bitter about that at all.
No, not at all. Time to raise now, ladies and gentlemen. Be upstanding. Jeffrey Gamet has a story.
Yeah, after the stories we've had so far, I think mine's kind of going to be a letdown. So my story is Me Too, the new photo editing app for iOS and Android. And the reason it's my pick as a story, because people have been digging into the code, and it's telling me we need to be looking at our mobile apps a lot closer, because basically Me Too is a personal data collection tool that lets you take photographs in a clever way.
Right.
And that's it. So basically it's a whole framework that's designed to just collect demographic data and activity data on everyone that uses it. And then they just put this nice little wrapper of taking a photograph on top of it. And it's not like they've done anything from a code standpoint that's like bad, but the fact that they've created the app in the way that they have is really creepy. And it turns out they're not the only company that does this. So there seems to be a pattern now where you get companies that are making these apps that are one trick ponies that do something that people just latch onto immediately. And then then it's just a front as a tool to gather data for marketing companies. And that's exactly what Me Too is. So if you've been using Me Too, congratulations, you have been harvested by marketing companies.
Right. So Me Too, is this the Lumi Technologies Me Too, is it?
It's Jaimin Me Too Technology.
So it's essentially a fancy filter from a Chinese company that rips all your data. And I'm just trying to find, I did see an article as well, I'm just frantically searching for it now. The list of the data it takes is huge.
Oh yeah. And if you're running this on iOS, it has like six different ways if your phone is jailbroken as well.
Oh right,
yeah, not that it would matter. But Yeah. So this also tells me that people that are trusting sources like Apple's App Store to vet applications need to understand what that vetting actually means. And it's not, is this app just completely innocuous and all it's doing is the one thing that it appears to be doing on the surface? That's not what the App Store screening process does. Mm-hmm. It makes sure that there's not virus code and other malware things, and that it's not breaking the API rules. So it turns out MeToo doesn't break any rules in that sense, but man, is it doing a really good job of collecting all kinds of resellable, marketable data about everyone that runs the app.
I've been seeing these posted on Facebook.
Yeah, no, it's now coming to me now. Yeah,
crazy over the app.
Bloody hell. That is, yeah. Oh, God, yeah, here they are. Oh, my God. Glass photo frame, wig hair stylist, eye color changer, flower photo frame, Halloween. Oh, God. And the kids love this stuff. They love the filters, don't they?
Oh, yeah. People are going nuts over this app. It's one of the trending apps on the App Store right now.
Yeah. Oh, God, that is that's rather shocking. It looks so innocent, doesn't it? It looks so innocent. It's obviously part of their marketing to look innocent, where they're actually
deep. Of course. Innocents. Yeah.
That is, oh, Jesus Christ.
And the irony is, over in the UK, I think it's next Thursday, is Safer Internet Day.
Yes.
Across the UK, in schools everywhere, there's a lot of interaction with children, invitations for parents to come in and learn about how to be safe on the internet. And a game like this that is absolutely going to be on most kids' wish lists is taking all that from unwitting parents. Probably don't even look at any of the tech news, don't read any of the terms and conditions, and will let their children sign up to this game.
Yep.
Well, that's how they do it, because they're the free apps, aren't they? They'll give the kid an iTunes account to stop them bugging them. But you can an entire credit card to it, and they'll go, oh, download all the free apps you want. And they do.
And too many parents out there, what they're looking for is, does it cost anything for the game? What's the in-app purchases? Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah.
Is there a parental setting for not allowing you to stop a phone downloading just free apps?
Well, if you can do it, if you've got kids, you can put them into your family plan. So my daughter is part of my family on iOS. If I look into my iCloud settings, it brings up my daughter as being part of my family. If she wants any app approving, it pops up on my screen, and I can then approve it.
So is that any app that she tries to download, or is it just
paid apps or free apps?
Right.
But as she's got older, so you can have it. So I'm set up as an organizer. My daughter, you can set it up as child as well, or you can set them up as adult, or you can say if they're a parent or guardian. So you can set certain levels based on their age. And that is quite a handy little thing. Now she's got older, I've relaxed some of the rules on there because she's a teenager now and she's much more responsible. But I think a lot of kids get smartphones very, very early on, don't they?
I don't know.
Oh, they do. Oh, God.
Not in my house, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Yeah, no. I've only got to go to a parents' evening or something, and every kid's got a smartphone. And then they haven't even got the cheap hand-me-down smartphones. They got iPhone 7s and like 7 pluses and 6s pluses. It's not like the old 4s's that mum gave to them. They've got like proper phones. They've got better phones than I've got.
Found the article I was talking about earlier. So it mentions that the app pulls in data from the phone, such as IMEI and MAC address. It also pulls in EXIF data. It tries to take, depending on whether location privacy is set up, specific location data, GPS coordinates. It gives them quite a lot of info.
Wow. Yeah, they really did do something about that. I could get out of control very quickly.
Scary in the wrong hands. But yeah, I think Jeff's point is right. I wonder how many other apps are out there that so far haven't been identified that ask for the same info.
Yeah, no, you're totally
the same,
right.
The same permissions as part of the TNCs.
Oh God, that is as a parent, that is a scary thing, and I might just. Luckily, if that ever comes up as a request to download, I would be. I don't know if I'd have thought about it before, actually. So, Jeff, that is a public service, my man.
Hey, I've got your back.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much. You make me a better parent and lover. Anyway, I've got a story. This is just going to be a quick one. It's one I wanted to bring to BTN for a little while, just because it's a bastard, and I just wanted to get your reaction to it. Have you heard of the Popcorn Time mal ransomware?
I've heard of Popcorn Time, but not Popcorn Time ransomware.
So yeah, Popcorn Time is the popular BitTorrent movie sharing thing, which never used. But this one, it's a bit of ransomware. So if you go to a dodgy website, click on a link, whatever, it'll do the old ransomware thing. Oh, actually, I put it in the chat room as well. It'll go ahead and encrypt your drive. And you're like, oh, shit, I've lost all my data. And then what you can then do is obviously pay them the $770 in Bitcoin, so one Bitcoin, to get your data back. Now, you might be a bit strapped for cash, and you can't do that. So what this ransomware also does is give you two specific links, which you can send to two people you know, and which will infect their computers. And if those two people pay up, you get your data back for free.
Oh, that's just shitty.
I know. That's why I did it. As I saw it, I was going to bring it up when I wasn't here the other week. And it's the shittiest virus you've ever seen.
Oh.
So you email your friends going, here's an email from me. Hey, check this link out. Click on that. If they pay up, you get your data back.
I mean, there's so like sending people you don't like, isn't there?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, you could do, yeah. You could always... That's a good point, actually. Yeah, you can find something you don't like.
It's still a shitty thing to do. Don't do that. That's
just damn evil.
Yeah.
That's the most evil one I've seen. It really is. It's it's genius, in a way. You've got to give them some respect for kind of malevolence. Yeah. The malevolence of this is ridiculous. But that is, you know, for people who, you know, if you haven't got, well, one, if you haven't got a Bitcoin, you're screwed. I guess you can pay the $770 in one shape, form or the other. Also, they're a bit mean that if you try to crack the key four times, it'll then wipe your data anyway. So they've gone to great lengths to kind of force you to infect other people. But then
this is why backups are really important.
Really important, yeah.
I'm just looking at an article on Wired for this as well. And the interesting thing is the screen it brings up with a warning message. There's a link on it that tells you how you can buy Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making it really easy, even if you don't have Bitcoin. They're actually helping you and directing them where you can go buy it, so you can pay your ransom a little bit easier.
But if you go down the description on the ransomware, they actually the authors claim that they're doing this to get food and water and shelter for people in Syria. So apparently, this is a charitable malware.
It's fine then. What's the problem?
You know, why don't they just ask for charitable donations for food and water for people in Syria?
Oh, and you three just all give me your email addresses. Excellent. As if
you will get you will get that machine unlocked tonight.
But you think, because obviously the other thing is like you send it to someone you don't like or whatever, they click on it, and then they're going to send it to two other people. You might send it to two other people. It's a self-replicating virus without any intervention from the hackers themselves. You're doing their job for them.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, Swamp Front makes a good point in chat room. Obviously, backs up regular. So, yeah, so if anybody out there is listening and they've been stupid enough to do this and that they're in current lockout state, don't go doing your mate server. Bin your disk. Go buy a new disk for way less than that price and restore from backup, please.
Yep. More public service announcement from BTN. And I just thought I'd
got that. And then note that whoever you send link to, they're going to show up on your door and they're going to beat your ass.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, no, I just want to see, yeah, at least everyone had the same oh, holy shit moment that I had. Perfect. Right. It's the money bit. As you know, this show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We wouldn't be here without them. BTN wouldn't be here without them. Our reviews wouldn't be here without them. Our blogs wouldn't be. Nothing would be here without them. They pick up the bandwidth for all the shows that we do. They're totally awesome. I'm a customer. And I'm not saying this because they support British Tech Network. They are just the best. So if you head on to the support us page over at BritishTechNetwork.com, they've got some deals for you. You can get loads of money off your basket. Use the offer codes that we've got in there. And if you've got the time, just do a little tweet to you at UK2 and just say, we love you supporting British Tech Network. I do it every so often. I give them a little tickle. They give me a little tickle back. They're rather nice. And if you're really, really generous, head on to patreon.com/British Tech Network. We've got loads of awesome people there who I thank for supporting us. They helped us with the Mac Mini Fund. They've helped us build the network. They helped us get things done the way they do, a lot more professionally than I do it here on Google, on YouTube Live, not Google Plus. And all of you people are awesome. So we thank you so much for everything that you do. And the only thing we need to do is, have you guys got any cool things?
I have. Shall I go first?
Go on, Cam. So what you got? Don't cost me money.
For me, this is possibly the coolest cool thing that I've found so far.
Oh, so you saved it for me.
Retropatents.com.
What?
So, retropatents.com. I'm going to let you guys have a quick look at that, and I want to see your faces. So, it is print. And it is patents from various tech. So for instance, in technology prints, you can get the original patent designs on a print. When I say original, I'm going to believe that they're the original patent prints on a design print for your wall, for the iPhone. maybe green, you might want the BlackBerry one. IBM, there's PageRank on there. There's the original PlayStation, the Game Boy, the 64.
The calculator.
That is so cool.
There's some awesome prints on that. I'm on the verge of spending about they're $25 each. I've not actually looked at what the postage and packing is for them, but I'm on the verge of spending $100 to put up in my little office room that I've got at home here. For me, that is possibly the coolest cool thing that I've found so far.
I want that to go. I want the iPhone one to go in my Apple II schematic that is behind me. That I still haven't put on the wall yet. Oh, that is. Oh, you're a dirty sod.
Yes, I'm sorry if I've cost people money tonight.
Oh, you might. You cost me money last time I was on. Jesus.
It's cool.
Tesla just did a picture of a car.
Yes.
It's a car. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Oh. Stripe, Nintendo, the Super Nintendo controller, the original PlayStation, photographic camera, PayPal. Oh my god, the Game Boy, N64, GoPro. Oh god, the Apple Mouse. That's a rather nice one, actually. Yeah.
There's some nice designs on there.
My word, my man. And then, oh no, show me it in a frame. Oh, that looks quite nice. But put it on the wall, man. Don't put it between two bloody books. What are you doing? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're not friends anymore. Cheers, Cans.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Rich, I think I know I told you to bring a story. I didn't say cool thing, but I'm sure you got something cool for me. Is it a vape with an MP3 player in it?
I don't have anything cool for you. I've just been looking around my room thinking, dear God, what can I show him?
That is totally my fault, though. That is totally my fault. I'm Ewan will tell you, I'm crap at organizing these things. So no, you're let off because of my incompetence. That's absolutely fine, mate.
Okay, I can live with that. Sorry, everybody.
No, that's all right. No, it's my fault. I should have actually added that to our conversation.
Do you know what? I would have loved to have done my Raspberry Pi as a cool thing. I can't get the damn thing working.
So. Your cool thing is your Raspberry Pi.
That is the one thing I've gotten since you and I last spoke. I got a Raspberry Pi because we had that whole conversation about, oh, just get a Raspberry Pi and then you can play anything. Can you really? You just download and put the thing on. No. Then tell me why mine won't work, because I did all those things.
It's all Nick's fault.
It is. And Nick got one, and his works. Of course, yeah. His works.
He's mine an Uber nerd.
I'm a
well, that's bomb. Your... That's,
yeah, anyway, sorry.
That's your homework for you. Come on next time, then.
Yeah.
You can bring your Raspberry Pi.
I'll work on that.
It's a cool thing in the oven, slowly baking.
Might be ready soon. Who knows?
Jeffrey, I know it's not prescription medication. So what is?
It's not prescription medication, and I can't tell if I'm in the chat room or not. So I don't know if the link just showed up.
It did.
Yes,
it did. Okay. Yeah.
But here you go. It's this, and it's the FLIR One. It's a thermal camera that attaches to your smartphone. So they make these for iPhones. Hence the connector that I have, but they also make them for Android phones. So you can get them with a little USB connector. And the way this thing works is you plug it in to your phone like that. It has a little power button on the side.
Oh, you even got one. Oh, you've got everything.
And then there's the FLIR One app. And so this thing's firing up and finding the camera. And there we go. Okay, so what I'll do is turn this around. And there you go. So what we're seeing now, there you go. How about a thermal image of me
in real time?
Yeah. So you can use this thing. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So you can capture photographs and video with it, and if you need to do other color maps for whatever it is that you're trying to capture, it has a bunch of other color maps that you can choose from also, and it's just really fracking cool.
That is so quite nice.
Yeah, so they're a couple $100, as I recall.
Yeah, $250.
Oh,
and they have a new model that's coming out. Like anytime now, I got to see the new one when I was at CES, and it's pretty nice. So one of the big differences between the current model and the one that's coming out, at least for iOS users, is that it has a little dial for the Lightning connector, so you can stick it out farther. So if you have a case where your Lightning port is recessed, you can make that connector stick out a little more, so you can still pop it on your phone without taking it out of the case.
Nice.
And that should be everything with a Lightning connector.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Jeff, other than looking for Nightshade when she's hiding around the house and you can't find her, so you use the thermal imaging to try and track her down, what are you going to use that for at $250? I'm intrigued.
Well, for me, I've been using it to find all of the air leaks in my place, so I can see where the hot air is getting out, and so it's been very enlightening, and I've been able to figure out why Nightshade has one part of the floor that she favors, and it's because there's a heat duct that runs under the floor in that spot, so I don't really feel any extra heat, but apparently because that's where she's hanging out. If you're into like animal watching, you can point this at areas where you know there ought to be animals, and even if you can't see them, you'll still pick up their heat signature.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the things that they tout for this, which to me doesn't seem actually that practical, but I don't know, because I'm not in an area where this is an issue, but you can use it as a personal safety thing. So if you think there's someone that's like hiding in the bushes and to attack you, you can point your little camera at the bushes and see if there's anyone actually in them. But if you're also someone that does like housing contract work, you could use this to look at whatever it is you're working on and figure out where the problems are. You know, like if you need to find a leak in a pipe or something, you can look for the temperature difference where that is.
That's rather practical, actually. Now you say it, yeah. I can see there's loads of applications for that.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's really cool. And even in, for me, it has been useful, but it's mostly been a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, talking about a bit of fun, my cool thing, which I'll put in the chat room, is something for the lady in your life. This little beauty here. Now, I'm not one for topping up my makeup, but I do like a little bit of it.
That's because you're beautiful just as you are.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. But this is a present I got from my wife. It's a very nice makeup mirror with light, which you can carry around with her. But the best thing about it, built-in battery. So she can charge her iPhone off it.
Oh, very cool.
In rose gold. It's got USB-A in there to plug your iPhone in. It's got micro USB in there for charging it up. So she can take this. I've bought her batteries in the past and she's not really used them. But this one is obviously something practical that she can use. So she can be doing her makeup. And it comes with an adapter with about 5 different connectors on the end. So it doesn't matter what device you've got, if it's an Android or an iOS or whatever, a Kindle, it'll do all of those sort of things. £30. And it comes in a really, really nice presentation box. So if you're looking for something for the lady in your life or for yourself, I'm not, you know, I might get one for myself, actually. It do come in other colors. You know, it's just, well... Yeah, no, maybe not. But yeah, it's a rather nice present for the lady in your life. And it's the Pearl Makeup Mirror USB battery pack, 3000. Not bad. Not bad at all. Now, thank you, lads. Thank you for coming out tonight. But I just need to say something before I go. Anders, you know this is going to happen. If you go to any more arcades and play Street Fighter 2 without inviting me, I'm coming round your house. It'll make more sense to you. So, lads, where can we get a hold of you? Mr. Campion, sir.
I'm Campion UK on Twitter. Usually like to rant in around in the Slack room. Most weeks on the Big Show, occasionally on the Mac Show, and writing some reviews over at britishtechnetwork.com/reviews.
And thanks for all the reviews, mate. They're absolutely awesome.
No problem.
And generally in my dreams, but I'll ask him now, Jeffrey Gamet, where can I find you?
In addition to In Your Dreams, you can find me over at macobserver.com, and you can find me on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamet there. Same thing on Instagram, and you can find me on tons of podcasts like The Big Show or Iowa Show or The Mac Observer's Daily Observations. And basically, if you Google me, you find all kinds of places where we can connect.
Fantastic. You can't beat that, can you? And last but not least, Mr. Smith.
Hello. Well, you can find me on simplysyndicated.com. That's where all the good stuff is. Or you can get the lower quality, just my stuff, at techsupportrich.com. And there's links to Twitter and all that stuff. But I'm not on Twitter. Ignore that.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming along. And you'll be back, won't you?
I'll be back.
Fantastic. More of it. I'm Righty Boy. I'm Pawns on Twitter, in the Slack room, do the old reviews with Camps and the boys. And thank you to everyone who's done the reviews for us. It's really coming on really well. Hopefully the governor, he'll be back next week, so you can put up with my voice. Until then, ta-ra.